Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this beautiful morning that you've given us to gather here this morning, hearing us to the child of our sins. I'm afraid you're great. Be with us as we go through this service. May everything we do be in accordance with thy will. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Birthdays.
I do.
Charlie, can you do yours by the way? Is it today? Never mind.
They don't know what it is. They're not.
Yes, I do.
Go right here.
If you all don't have anything to do after lunch or after church today, a family of Kenneth and Justin Hader, I don't know if any of you know those people, they got a little girl, a daughter, that's 3 years old that has went through all kinds of trauma with a little, they first thought she had an injury on the playground with her left hand. But after further tests and all that, they discovered she had a mass on the back of her brain. And they've done a lot more tests, and she had to go to Cincinnati Hospital to get this surgery that one doctor specializes in. They had to move her spine to be able to get to the tumor. So she was scheduled to be in surgery for 13 hours. They got finished with her in 12 hours. But now they think they got 90% of the tumor. Couldn't get the other 10 because some kind of nerve started acting up, so they quit the surgery at 12 hours. But they done a test on the remaining part of the tumor, and right now it's benign. So, but the families have been tied up in Cincinnati. Justin, he works at the State Road Department. And the mother works as a fifth grade school teacher, so they both are working people. And they're going to have a benefit. This is put on by Jackie Wayne Sexton, and I think the Sexton family, maybe the Hager family. They're having a benefit for them at Mono Country Club, and they're going to have lunch, $5 a plate. They're going to have hot dogs and chips and maybe a Walworth or something. I don't know what that is. Anyway, that goes toward the benefit. And at 2 o'clock, they're going to have an auction of like baked goods and stuff that all those people have made. And if you've got anything you'd like to auction for that benefit, they would also accept that. So I talked to the ones at the church, some of them at the church this morning, and the church is going to make a little donation for that benefit. So anyway, if you don't have anything to do, that'd be a good place to go.
I have something to say in regards to Gail. Gail's visitation is Tuesday from 4 to 8. On Wednesday, the funeral is at 11 o'clock. After the funeral, we will be hosting a dinner at the Jessman Extension Office where the beef cattle have their meeting, past the Blue Building. The church will provide chicken in hand, paper plates, and all that stuff. If we ask you if you come to bring a large dish of something, because we're expecting probably 100 people. So that's all. But
Jimmy or Charlene, on that note, I will. I will make sure there is someone in that building by 10 o'clock if I have to go to such.
Okay. So if you bring something home, the building will be open for you to leave it there. Somebody will be at the building.
Okay, Brother Lee.
Well, it sounds like it's all coming together. And opportunity to help out, so that's good. I do have one update for your prayer list on Joe Chapman, and he is home from the hospital, doing some better, but he's still in need of prayer. He's on oxygen at times, and although he's home now, he's still not out of the woods. That's Joe Chapman. And the other, I actually had two updates. The other one is Graydon Strange. This is Jody's grandson. He's being treated for cancer. But he developed a very high fever. And they've been dealing with that for a week or so, trying to get this fever under control. He's back in the hospital, and I think prayer certainly would be appropriate. That's great and strange. All right.
We'll have a card for Brian and Christine Gray to send brotherly.
A card for whom?
Brad and
Christine
Gray.
Okay. Teeter family. Yeah. Okay. Don't forget to sign the card out after church then. I want you to consider the two criminals who were crucified with Jesus, one on either side of him. The attitudes of these two men could not have been different, any more different. But they represent the broken kinds of people that Jesus came to rescue. It's Dr. Luke is the one who tells us about the difference. Because one of the two criminals joined in with the onlookers who were heaping scorn and insults on the Savior. The other one owned up to his own guilt and recognized Jesus had not committed any crime. Apparently, he believed Jesus' claims because he asked for Jesus to remember him when he came in his kingdom, and Jesus promised to do that. I think still today, some die with no regard for the Savior, and others trust him to show them grace and forgiveness. What we remember here today is that with these emblems of His body and His blood, He promises to remember us in His kingdom. And that's why we remember Him.
Heavenly Father, as always, we thank you for this day and the ability to come to this church this morning. Lord, as we stand here before you, we have heavy hearts for the loss of one of our church members, church family, friend. And Lord, we want to thank you for your word that tells us that you go prepare a place for us. And Lord, I think Gail would be in that place now that you prepared for her. I'm glad that you had the ability to prepare that place for us, and we realize the sacrifice that it took for us to have that opportunity. And as always, we partake of these emblems to remember Jesus' blood and body. And maybe we will have that opportunity when we come to our throne together. And it's in his blessed name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Again, thank you for this day you blessed us with. Thank you for this wonderful church you have provided us with. Thank you for each and every blessing that you give us. As we bring forth the gift, bless both the gift and the giver, and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Let's join in singing today, hymn number 485, America the Beautiful. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains and majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Come thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim feet to stern impassioned stress, a thoroughfare for freedom meet across the wilderness. America, America, God mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty we all would pray for God to shed His grace on our nation. Another song that's also a prayer is number 486, right across the page. America. Number 445 is our prayer hymn. just the first verse while we stand and join in prayer. Merciful Heavenly Father, we're so grateful. We're grateful for the saints who've gone before us, set an example for us to follow. Those who have demonstrated honesty and self-control and humility and forgiveness and patience and kindness, all those qualities that make us more like you if we develop them. May we honor those faithful souls who followed the steps of Jesus, because they make it easier for us to walk in ways of righteousness. We ask you to forgive us for our selfish pride, our arrogant self-righteousness. Make us aware that your ways are always the right ways, and we be blessed if we follow them. Lord, our world is in a frightening turmoil. Hatred and greed and division and violence. We believe you will make all things right one day, one glorious day. But we pray for a spirit of love and peace soon to replace at least some of the chaos that surrounds us today. Help us do what we can to contribute to that new spirit by living and sharing the good news that only Christ can offer, because we pray in His name. Amen. Back in 2010, there's a true story of a British man named Sean Murtaugh, who decided to wear a Halloween costume. I'm not sure what the costume was, but in order to complete the costume, he had this top hat. You know, stovepipe hat. He'd covered it with sequins, and he wanted to wear that at an angle on his head, like that. But it wouldn't quite stay on. Kept falling off, so instead of attaching the hat to his head with a string under his chin, he decided to glue it on. He tried fabric glue. That didn't work. So he decided to use super glue. The good news was the hat stayed on his head. The bad news was the hat wouldn't come off his head. He tried using soap and warm water, nothing. So he went to the emergency room in the hospital, and the doctor told him, super glue is actually quite strong. If I rip the hat off, it'll tear your scalp and maybe open you to an infection. So the nurse cut the hat off with scissors and left just the brim. She told the reporters, I cut off the top of the hat, leaving only the brim, so he wouldn't look like that much of an idiot. I imagine he looked a little unusual. Anyway, the brim finally came off, but only after he soaked his head in warm water for 12 hours. I bet he didn't do that again. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof can be mighty embarrassing, especially if you use super glue. But when it comes to more serious decisions in life, If we insist on doing things our way, it can get not only embarrassing, but really dangerous. Real quick, the actual quote from the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, Solomon says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death." Keep that verse in your mind. I'm preaching a series of messages on the theme, "Where did you get that idea?" And the idea for today is, "I did it my way." Sean Murtaugh did it his way. It didn't work too well for him. "I did it my way." Now, you might recognize those words, I would imagine, from a song written back in the 60s by Paul Anka and made popular by whom? Frank Sinatra, that's right. It's a powerful song. And it starts out with a singer talking about the difficulties of life. He says, "Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, but more, much more than this, I did it my way." And then the chorus, "Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all, and I stood tall, and did it my way." And that last section builds to a big crescendo, and you can almost hear the people in the audience saying, "Yeah, that's the way to live. Do it your way." In fact, a survey back in 2005 showed that this song, "I Did It My Way," was the most requested song at funerals in the United Kingdom. Can you believe that? They said the words sum up what so many people feel about their lives and how they would like their loved ones to remember them. "I did it my way." It is an impressive song about facing the difficulties of life and winning over the challenges. "I did it my way." It's a powerful song. It's also sort of a pagan song. I bet you didn't know that. Scripture repeatedly warns us that's not a good idea. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Our text this morning is in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Where Solomon says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." He's simply saying it. Don't do it your way. Do it God's way. Now, there are all kinds of stories in the Bible that show what happens when people don't do things God's way. After the flood, remember, God told people to multiply and fill the earth. So what did they do? They settled in one spot and built a Tower of Babel. God came down and scattered the people and confused their languages. I said, "My way." Abraham. God promised Abraham that he and Sarah would have a child, but they waited and they waited and they waited. They got older and they got older and they got older. Finally, Sarah got impatient And Abraham listened to her and did things her way. He had a child by her servant, Hagar, and they ended up with some really serious family problems. And then there was Pharaoh. He did it his way. He mocked Moses. He said, "Who is this God that I should listen to him?" And he refused to let the Israelites go. 10 plagues later, he learned how foolish he had been. And of course, Judas did it his way and betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And we all know how that turned out. Now, and I could go on and on. There are many, many examples. God would say one thing, people would say something else, and life would get complicated from there on. I did it my way. It's not a good idea. It's not a biblical idea. It's not even a Christian idea. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, what does deny yourself mean? Well, that means you lay all your life at the feet of Jesus. It's not going to be your will that guides you any longer. It's going to be his will. Romans chapter 10 says, we should confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. When you call Jesus Lord, that means he owns you. He's your master, your boss. From that time on, it's his will, not yours, that should guide you. Now, understand, we do have to use our brains. Every now and then, it's helpful to use your mind. But I'm talking about life decisions, where we're choosing between right and wrong, where we're choosing things that really matter. In Luke 22, Jesus modeled this idea when he prayed, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. See, the problem for a lot of people is they want to do things their way. They're convinced if they do it their way, it'll be done right. Why depend on someone else when I can do it right the first time? You know, and that kind of thinking bleeds over into our relationship with God. That's where it becomes a problem. In fact, there are a lot of people who have a saying that sort of justifies their following their way. That saying is, God helps those who help themselves. You know where that's found in the Bible? I don't either. It's not there. And the idea, that saying is believed to have come from one of Aesop's fables. A wagoner was once driving a heavy load along a very muddy way. He came to a part of the road where the wheels sank halfway in the mud. And the more the horses pulled, the deeper sank the wheels. So the wagoner threw down his whip and knelt down and prayed to Hercules the Strong. Oh, Hercules, help me in this my hour of distress. But Hercules appeared to him and said, man, don't sprawl there. Get up and put your shoulder to the wheel. The gods help them that help themselves. Notice it was the gods help them that help themselves. It was a pagan teaching. It's just another way to saying, I did it my way, I guess. I don't need God's will. I know what I want to do, and that serves me quite well. Thank you very much. But is it possible that there are Christians who sing, I did it my way? I mean, are they churchgoers who tell God, I want my will, not yours? Not on purpose. I don't think anybody's that dumb. Except maybe Satan. And if he was kicked out of heaven because he wanted things his way, I guess he did do that on purpose. But when churchgoers do this, when they insist on doing things their way and never even inquiring what might be God's way, they don't think of it as defying God. They just look at it as standing up for their rights or doing the right thing. I don't know if that could happen to you or me. I guess it could. We could end up defying God because we thought we were doing the right thing. I've seen preachers do it. I've seen elders do it. I've seen devoted Christians do it a lot of times. When people can't get their own way, you know. And you know what people do when they can't get their own way. They get mad. Get angry. Begin to look for ways that they can get their own way. And you have a lot of fusses in churches when that happens. There's a better way. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, Paul tells us a better way. He says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." In other words, don't defy God's will. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God." In other words, do things God's way. "As beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us." Notice Ephesians warns about the effects of self-will. Bitterness, wrath, anger, slander, all that kind of stuff. The signs of someone who couldn't get his way and wanted his way and became difficult to get his way. You ever done that? I don't want you to raise your hands. But if you and I want to do things God's way, if you want to imitate God, then we need to be what Paul said, kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. That's our goal. So be careful. Watch out. If you find yourself getting annoyed and angry because of something, realize it may be because you're not getting your own way and you think you should. But don't sing that song. Don't sing that song. It can happen to you. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, that's good. But if he's not, then somebody has to be. And it will be you, most likely. Somebody once said, "The universal religion of humankind is we develop a good record and give it to God, and then he owes us. But the gospel is God developed a good record and gives it to us, and then we owe him." That's the reasoning of a Christian. Outside of Christ, you don't need Jesus. You can do it by yourself. If all it takes is just be a better person, then who needs Jesus? But we all need Jesus. In fact, like in contrast, Paul goes through a list of all the wonderful things he had been and done. He sort of calls up his record. Before he became a Christian, he was an outstanding leader among his people. "Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. In other words, Saul had a great record. Great education, great leadership, big following, but it all ended up in the garbage when he became a follower of Jesus. Nothing he had done even began to compare what Jesus had done for him. Let me tell you about a man who learned that lesson the hard way. He encountered people that we call Christians, and he did everything he could to brush them off or get rid of them or destroy them. In the 26th chapter of Acts, we find this man explaining himself. His name was Paul. He said, I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. In this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. He thought he was pleasing God. But God said, why are you persecuting me? He thought he was doing things God's way. He was actually doing them his way. He was hurting and destroying people. So one day Jesus came to visit him and just shook up Paul's life no end. Paul ended up talking with a Christian named Ananias, who told him what he needed to do. He said, rise and be baptized and wash away your sins. How would that change Paul's life? It would tell him to die to himself, to repent, to be buried with Christ and raised as a new person. It's a place where Paul surrendered his will to Christ's will for his life. That was the beginning. He was now beginning to learn to do things God's way. And I hope that's high on your priority list, to do things God's way. It might not determine what kind of breakfast cereal you eat, but it might determine some more important things in your life. And that's what counts. We're going to sing number 452 as our invitation hymn this morning. I don't know if there's a change needed in your life, but if there is, this would be a wonderful time to step out and take up the cross of Jesus. Let's stand while we sing. Thank you. Don't forget to sign the card for the Teeter family. And remember the other announcements that were made too. Let's pray. Dear God, we have sung your praises and we've offered our prayers. And I know you've searched our hearts as we worship you. We just pray earnestly that you found us to be sincere and true in our praise and in our confession, and that we'll truly begin each day by praying, not my will, but yours, O Lord, as our Savior did, because we come to you in his name. Amen.